B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Mav, 4:02 in the afternoon. Felger here in the A-hole chair in our Tom Fertitta studios in Dorchester. Mav and Murray on location. So we've talked a lot about the sports coming back, the NHL coming back, the NBA coming back, Major League Baseball coming back. And I think the momentum continues in that direction. I think this momentum began last week. I think the arrow continues to be pointed in that direction. And another indication of it has come in the last couple of days. I'm reading from Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio writes, Florida is paving the way for a return of sports, provided no fans are present. A memo circulated by Jared Moskowitz, who is the state coordinating officer for the Florida Division of Emergency Management, that memo has decreed that sports are to be considered essential services in Florida for the purpose of the executive order on the COVID-19 public health emergency. The memo says that people who are allowed to work during the pandemic include employees at a professional sports and media production with a national audience. Okay? Employees at a professional sports and media production with a national audience, including any athletes, entertainers, production team, executive team, media team, and any others necessary to facilitate, including services supporting such production, only if the location is closed to the general public. In other words, nationally televised pro sports can take place in empty arenas in Florida because it has been deemed essential by the government in Florida. Should sports in empty arenas be considered essential workers and essential services in Florida?
So let's start with that question. My answer is no, they're not essential. I just think that that is, I mean, I don't know if you agree or disagree. We haven't discussed that part of it. But to me, essential, no, should not be essential.
Not essential. Not essential.
But I have no problem with it when they consider us non-essential. We get the pass. Like, so if we do, why can't they?
Huh?
Well, look, Murray, because I think the obvious answer there is that they're in a much bigger group than we are, and we are able to do it from home. And so, I mean, I suppose what you're saying is, in theory, we could all go into the studio if we want, but again, it's a smaller group. So, and also, this gets into some emergency alert issues because we are considered an emergency alert broadcaster, right? We're the Boston affiliate of that network.
Okay.
Yeah, but the reality is every broadcaster in the United States, you know, technically is deemed as essential, so they could go into these studios. You know, granted, we can work from home, and most people are, but, you know, it is, if we are, I have no problem with it.
Okay, so I don't understand what you were saying by that. I thought you were referring to the fact that media is part of this decree, meaning if you're a BBWAA member and you go down to cover a baseball game in Florida, you're deemed essential and they're going to allow you into that building. That's what I thought you were referring to.
No. I just meant like as soon as this thing, you know, as soon as these lockdowns, you know, came in, you know, we got that paperwork emailed to us like, hey, in a case that's, you know, essentially martial law, here's something you keep in your car that you can show to anyone that pulls you over and say, nope, I'm essential. I have to go to the studio.
Sports talk radio is essential. So if what you're saying is if Felger, Maz, and Murray and Stu and Billy Lanny and, you know, all these, if sports talk radio is deemed essential, then, you know, sports is probably essential, right?
Yeah.
I get that. But I think they're doing themselves a disservice and opening themselves up for second guessing by deeming it essential services. Don't do that because it's obviously not essential. If you want to say, if Ron DeSantis, the governor down there in Florida, wants to say, we have to open our economy, and this is the first step in opening our economy, and this is one facet of our economy that we're going to open up, let's open it up, then he's on firmer ground. That's on economic grounds. But to make it on essential service grounds, well, now you're just opening yourself up for ridicule, especially since they deemed the WWE an essential service.
Yeah.
And the WWE, the freaking wrestling show. Actually, was that live last night? Stu, was that?
Yeah, it was live last night.
Last night at the Orlando training facility, and they were allowed to do it because Monday Night Raw was deemed essential. So that's absurd, right? So now you just open yourself up. Don't say it's part of your essential services. Say this is step one, one of our initial steps in opening up the economy down here in Florida. Then it's a straight argument. Or although, Stu, I guess you would say wrestling's essential?
100% essential. I need something to watch on TV, damn it.
How was the card? How was the show?
It's okay.
Okay, so Mike Florio, who I think Big Jim
Murray. People paid. It's economy. Let's go. Live TV.
I believe if you can work and you can do it safely, do it. And so whatever that means, if doing sports radio shows without a studio, if you can do it, do it. Doing wrestling shows without fans, do it. You can play sports without fans in the stands, and the government and the health officials okay it, do it. Do whatever you can to get your business going. I have no problem with it whatsoever. But if they're going to try and sell me that it's an essential service, then, like, come on, let's keep it real, okay? Okay,
but Mike, you can see how this whole thing has unfolded. And again, let's go back a couple of weeks or 10 days ago when Trump held a conference call with the sports commissioners of, really all the leagues, including, MLS, I mean, the whole range of them. And then shortly thereafter, we find out about some of these spring training plans in Major League Baseball, one of which is that they would play games in the facilities in both Florida and Arizona. Now, all of a sudden, conveniently, we just find out that Florida is among a small group of states that would make professional sports an essential business to be opened. I think this is DeSantis. So let's connect all the dots while we're at it. Ron DeSantis, hardcore Republican, big ally of Trump. And so all of a sudden, it just so happens that he's the first one. To me, I just think this is Trump orchestrating a deal.
Yep.
He reached out to DeSantis and he said, why don't you go ahead and deem these essential? I'll talk to the commissioners and we'll see if we can get this thing moving.
Mass, I started talking about this last week. The business end of that phone call that Trump had with commissioners, don't tell me it was just him pumping himself up or pumping his own tires or some sort of pep talk. There was a business end. There was a call to action of some kind. And the conspiracy theory I put out there last week was that Trump got him together and said, guys, plan. I'll get you your tests. I'm going to get you your tests. By the time our experts are saying, by the time we get to May, June, the curve will be flattened. We're going to start to open up the economy. And he's not saying this to them, but just put it as part of the conspiracy. You know, Trump's going to want to take credit for bringing America back after the pandemic, as any politician would. I don't even necessarily blame him for it. You know, he's going to want to, campaign on what he brought back and how he brought the country back, and sports is going to be part of it. Because it's hugely important to him, and it's hugely important to us, and it's hugely important to a lot of people. So he's the one that helped engineer and orchestrate the return of sports and bring America back from the pandemic. And I think that conference call was to tell the commissioners, don't worry about your tests. Don't worry about the curve. I'm taking care of this. You do your planning. You figure out how you can get it done in empty stadiums, and I'll take care of the rest. And now the next thing you know, one of his biggest allies in the governor ranks, DeSantis, from his home state of Florida, is already, deemed the WWE, for crying out loud, essential services. And now you are allowed and it's legal to play ball games in empty stadiums in Florida. Of course you connect those dots. Of course you do.
Absolutely. Again, that is hardly a coincidence. And again, the timeline just tells us everything we need to know. And on a lot of levels, I don't disagree that it's important to have the sports back. Now, again, nobody is saying that we should sacrifice lives in the process. I think a lot of people misunderstand us when we start talking about this kind of stuff. But I do think that they are a welcome diversion, that people need whatever diversions they can get. And I don't follow it, but apparently they started play last night or yesterday in the last 24 hours in the Taiwanese Baseball League, and they're playing before empty stadiums. I know that Japanese baseball has ventured to start and had some frustrations there because players have been diagnosed with the virus, but I believe that teams are very much exploring the options of being able to get on the field and test daily. I think they're absolutely doing that.
So Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk writes at the end of this, just because putting on pro sporting events in Florida is now legal, however, it doesn't mean it's responsible. When, quote unquote, essential services are exempted from stay home orders, the idea is to allow businesses like grocery stores and pharmacies to stay open because people can't live without food and medicine. Allowing nationally televised pro sports to take place is about the state of Florida making money off of lucrative businesses, not about health and safety.
So Big Jim Murray has a developing problem with Mike Florio. What, Nana Florio, you call him?
Yeah, for weeks now. Yeah, I actually had to start. I had to unfollow him. Like, last week was the last straw because, you know, Tua Tagovailoa had a, you know, like a workout to show that his hip is okay. And while everyone was watching the film and, you know, on social media, be like, oh, okay, looks pretty good. And people just want to hear how he's looked at this thing. Florio, after he said he held this workout, he then quickly took to shaming, like, look at all the other people that are here. Are they practicing social distancing? I'm like, that was the last straw. Like, I can't deal with this guy trying to be the head of the sports media arm of the CDC. Like, I've had enough. So I'll miss out maybe on some of his information. Maybe I can just go search his Pro Football Talk in the search bar of Twitter. But as far as a follow, like, I'm done. Like, I can't deal with any more of this guy's finger wagging.
Is putting on pro sports in Florida irresponsible?
Well, it depends on what measures are in place. So if you're telling me that no spectators, that the virus is starting to be contained and is receding or regressing, and that they can test daily and that they've tested everyone and they're all virus-free at the start of it, then I would say no, it's not irresponsible. But I also think you don't want to rush into anything like that when people aren't ready for it. And when I say people, I mean leagues. So to me, this is a, you know, there are a lot of steps that have to be taken to ensure that they can do it. But could it be pulled off in theory? Yeah. Yeah, it could be pulled off, but you got to make sure you have all your ducks in a row.
It comes down to this for me. Do you get the approval, the government approval, and from the CDC and the World Health Organization? You're not going to have crowds, and are your employees comfortable with it? If they are, then go right ahead.
That's right.
And Mike, let's not forget, just quickly, we asked this question to our and I'll call him our medical expert, Paul Sachs at the Brigham, whether or not the whole bubble approach, putting teams in a bubble, testing everybody, whether or not it could work and whether it was feasible. And he himself said yes. So I don't think we are just saying it because we're sports people.
Are they pushing ahead with this? Yes. Should they? Yes. But they haven't done it yet. If they said play ball tomorrow, I'd feel like it was a little early and it's a little irresponsible. I don't feel we're ready for it right now.
Agreed.
But the plan is May into June. That's what we're talking about. So in another 30 days, 40 days, something along those lines, if they've done all the proper planning and they've gotten the sign-offs from the government and the researchers and the scientists and the doctors and everyone's a willing participant, this is not communist China. This is not Cuba. You're not being forced at gunpoint to go do something. These athletes and anyone working in and around these stadiums will have a choice to go into the building or not. And if they choose to do it and assume the risk and everything checks off, are we going to get finger wagging from Florio and the rest because they decide to play ball in Florida?
Oh, yeah. It's going to come. It's going to be a deluge of that.
So I don't think it's, you know, it's I there's one thing I know for sure. It's not irresponsible to talk about it and plan it and see what it looks like. Now, once we get there, let's see. Let's see. But it's definitely not irresponsible to go down this road. Was it irresponsible for them to have that wrestling card last night? How about that?
No, not at all.
Why?
Because they are doing, the WWE is doing what they can to keep their performers safe. Now, they had a positive test of a non-wrestler and the timeline, from what I know and from what they said in their statement, is off. But it seems like they are putting people into the performance center, taking people out of the performance, and if the wrestlers aren't comfortable with it, they go home. They don't lose any part of their downside guaranteed salary. I mean, so I think it's okay.
Here's what I think. I think, you know, wrestling is the dirtiest and the, you know, fringiest of them all. And the wrestlers, the vast majority of those wrestlers say, yeah, give me the coronavirus. I'm fine. I'll get over it and I'll be back wrestling and whatever. I'll get a head cold. It's probably what they're saying.
They're not.
They're not? They're really concerned about it?
Yeah, they are. There is a whole, the last day that they taped WrestleMania, when this rumor had been going around that somebody had tested positive, some of them went home. They didn't perform because they were worried about it. And there's Roman Reigns is somebody with a compromised immune system because he has leukemia and he wasn't medically disqualified, but he decided he was going home.
Well, that's fine. You know, and then that's their choice, right? If you think it's not safe, you don't have to go. You don't have to play. You don't have to go in the stadium. You don't have to cover the game. You don't have to be one of those people that are in the stadium. That's up to you. But if you have your own free will determine that you're okay doing it, then what? Then why should we be outraged? But I'm sure people will be. So I guess that's the question. Down in Florida, Should the WWE, should Major League Baseball and empty stadiums be deemed essential?
Yes.
Your thoughts on it at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Reopening, can you talk about your call with the sports commissioners? Did you say you'd like to see people back, fans back in arenas in August?
Absolutely. I want fans back in the arenas. Whenever we're ready. I mean, as soon as we can, obviously. And the fans want to be back, too. You know, they want to see basketball and baseball and football and hockey. They want to see their sports. They want to go out onto the golf courses and breathe nice, clean, beautiful, fresh air. No, the
fans.
I can't tell you a date, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. But and, you know, we're not going to have separation for the rest of our times on the planet. We need it for this period of time, but eventually people are going to be able to occupy those seats in arenas next to each other, like we have for all of my life and all of your life. They want to sit next to each other at restaurants. They don't want to be, you know, 6 feet away. And some restaurant man called up. He said, "Yeah, I'm worried because I have a small restaurant with not too many seats." I think he said 120. And he said, "If I practice what this is, I'm down to 30 seats. I can't make it." I said, "Don't worry about it. That's for a short period of time. You'll be back to your number of seats." We can't do that. Otherwise, you're making everything. That means your stadium is half the size of what it was a month ago. No, no. They're going to be close together, but they're going to be breathing air that's not infected, that's not going to kill people. Please.
Again, that was Trump on April 5th, I think. After that call with the commissioners. And I just think it's a coordinated effort. Good. At least he's coordinating something. Fine. You know, sports, I'll take it. I'll take it. And it's, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that DeSantis down there in Florida is the first domino to fall. And, you know, certain states aren't going to go for it. Certain states aren't going to go for it. It ain't going to happen in New York. I doubt it's going to happen in California. So does Trump get, you know, governors and states that are aligned with him to open up these stadiums? And that's our path back to sports. We're headed to Red State America, Maz, to play ball.
Well, and I was just going to say, and not the Red State America part, but the fact that this is becoming political, or has been political, I shouldn't say becoming, is really kind of sad. I mean, because ultimately you just like them to be able to make the right decisions based on what is good for everybody, independent. But, you know, you have to align along political parties to open these doors for what, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's not different than a political life in America at any other time. I mean, certainly it's more extreme now. But, you know, the idea that he's going to lean on Republican states, to me, that's the only part of it to me that's a little scary. And again, not the Republican-Democrat part, the fact that it's political.
So I do love the way this, you know, this memo in Florida was worded. It's that decreed that the memo says that people who are allowed to work during the pandemic include employees at a professional sports and media production with a national audience.
Right.
So college sports, nope. Okay. It's got to have, unless it's nationally televised. So does that mean Florida Gators football? But it has to be a production. It can't just be, it's got to be televised for the nation, and then it's legal in Florida.
Right. But it also says professional, right?
Professional. I'm sorry. You're right. Duh. Okay. Thank goodness we have you.
Okay, so I'll tell you, I wonder about a lot of things. One, does it open up golf in Florida? Could they play PGA Tour events down there now?
Sure.
And depending on what other states, does it open up for that? And the other thing is, you know, it says with a national audience, which I think eliminates minor league baseball. So minor league baseball is professional. Those players get paid. But I don't think that because there's no national audience for it, that those games will not be allowed.
But, you know, it's, again, interesting. So employees at a professional sports and media production, so it's got to be produced on TV with a national audience, and this includes any athletes, entertainers, production team, executive team, media team, and any others necessary to facilitate, including services supporting such production. Okay, so athletes, got it, obviously. Production team, okay. Got it. You know, the film crew, the producers, the TV people, got it. Executive team. So I guess that means like the GMs, you know, Heim Bloom gets to sit in the stands, I guess. Media team. Okay. So they'll have media members covering it. And then I like this one. Entertainers. So does that mean like the gal who balances the plates, you know, on the unicycle?
Yeah, right.
At halftime, she gets into the stadium to perform the thing at halftime or in between the innings. Like, the entertainers?
Yeah.
What, Timberlake and Janet Jackson get in there? Like, is that what that means?
I think it's all of the above, from Red Panda to Lil Funk to actual, you know, established musicians. I think that means all of the above.
No, so Lucky's in. Including services, others necessary to facilitate, including services supporting such production. So cleaning crews, like all of that. So they're in. So very, very interesting the way that's worded. So the light is green down in Florida to head down and play Major League Baseball games in empty stadiums. The government has already cleared it, and they're already wrestling down there, if you can believe it.
Well, I mean, I look at the, you were talking about the timing of that phone call. I look at the timing of this happening after Trump's press conference yesterday. That governor down there is letting Trump and the federal government know, hey, we're on board after what he said yesterday about having full authority to open everything back up for business. And you're getting pushback in other states from other governors like Newsom in California and in New York. But this guy in Florida is just saying, you got no pushback from us. We're ready to roll.
Okay. Well, and again, and also just we know how this thing has worked, that oftentimes when one state does something, there is a sort of a chain reaction and other states will follow suit. Now, in this case, they're all going to take their own individual needs to heart, and certainly a huge factor there. But I suspect that this is what Trump wants, so someone to step up first so others will follow suit.
Here's what I need. Republican governors with hockey rinks. That's the next shoot a drop here. That's what we need. Mike and Quincy, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, I really feel like we could solve this whole problem if Trump could keep that wall going down south right around Florida so that we don't have to have any more problems going all the way back to the election with Bob Dole to today.
Okay, so build the wall right through the panhandle, and it'll take care of us, huh? Scott in Maine. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me on. The one thing I just want to bring up is how could you not point out that Vince McMahon's wife is in Trump's cabinet, and all of a sudden the WWE is open in Florida when Trump's little lapdog DeSantis is down there?
It's all related. It's all related. What does McMahon's wife do, Stu?
She was the administrator of small businesses for Trump's cabinet, but the relationship with Vince and Donald Trump goes back to WrestleMania 4 in 1988 when they hosted at Trump Plaza. Trump hosted WrestleMania at Trump Plaza. So it's a long-standing relationship.
I don't think there's any coincidences here in any of this. Brian and Woonsocket, go ahead, please.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. So how many people are at this stadium, counting trainers, staff, employees, medical people, camera guys, everything else that's going on?
So let's say, Brian, between, this is guessing, 20, they're going to be like 27-man rosters, managers, umpires. So maybe somewhere between 100 and 200 people? Does that make sense?
I was going to guess between 1 and 150. My guess is that they will limit the number of people that they want there at any given time, but somewhere in that range, I think, is a reasonable number.
Now, what if they do a doubleheader that day and have two teams playing at 1 and two teams playing at 5 and two teams playing at 9? It's a lot more people. How about those tests being used for other circumstances?
Yeah, I understand. So I've said this a million times. Those tests should go to people on the front lines in the hospitals and our medical personnel. They should go to people who are susceptible, the people who are vulnerable, the people who have or may have had COVID-19. All those tests should go to those people, and they should be prioritized. I have no problem with them prioritizing Major League Baseball players and even wrestlers, for crying out loud, over me. So I have no problem with that. Because we have it deemed to us in our world, sports are essential. And I have no problem with them getting them before I would to get these games staged again. But that's me. I know you feel differently about it, a lot of you out there.
Well, and just quickly, because this is something that comes up a lot, this whole idea of, you know, the tests should not be given to athletes when there are people in need. And I think that everyone agrees on that point. The only way they reach this stage is if they have sufficient number of tests to be able to pull this off. They're not going to get 300 million tests at any one time, which is the number of people in the country. But I don't think everybody in the country needs to be tested on a daily basis.
Okay, but Maz, there is going to be some prioritization.
Of course.
And it's going to go to these athletes. And people are going to have a problem with it. And I'm not going to tell you not to have a problem with it. I'm just telling you I personally don't, as long as it, I'll just say for the 1,000,000th time, there should not be prioritized over hospital workers and people who are vulnerable and people who may have had it or need it from a medical standpoint.
Correct.
From anywhere, you know, in that scope, from whether it's patient or doctor or caregiver, anyone in that realm gets it first. But athlete versus me or the rest of us, the athlete can have it, as far as I'm concerned, first, providing, you know, they get around to the rest of us. But if that's what it takes to get back, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I got news for you. They've already had them.
Yes, and I think so. I think we've understood, not to tell you everything that we know, but there is at least one major league team that has access to a series of tests, a large number of tests, to the point where they've offered them out to people who might be involved in production of their games down in Florida. Is that a fair way to phrase that, Maz?
Yeah, I think that if they don't have them yet, I think that they expect to have them. And so I think this is going on with multiple teams. I think that they are, you know, checking with their employees, however they're doing that, and trying to get a sense of if we can go and play, and you are one of the people that is required or can be there in order for this to take place, would you be willing to do it? And, you know, you might have to test yourself on a daily basis. We'll show you how to do it. And I think it's that sort of questionnaire is taking place within multiple organizations right now.
And they're sending it out to not just the players and the managers, but cameramen, people who might be involved in the production of this, as the order said, because that person is now deemed essential in the state of Florida. So that's what we're discussing right here. We'll pick up the Brady Belichick stuff as well with your calls after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
My attitude always is, it's not about if the glass is half empty or half full, it's who's pouring the water.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
In this particular case, it's the scientist pouring the water. And so I'm not coming to any conclusions. All I know from all the science and everything that I'm reading, just like anybody else can read, that I think we're making enough advances that several of them will come through so that we can start planning what a comeback would look like. And if things really go our way, you know, it's not inconceivable to me, and this is me being hopeful, not being scientific, that we could potentially play games early June. I think we're coming back. I can't tell you exactly when, but, you know, the feedback I'm getting, and this is not a political thing. This is not about the economy thing. This is purely a science and doctors thing. And so you know, I'm a big believer in American exceptionalism, and everything that I'm starting to hear in terms of the science that's coming along and the medical advances that we're making to fight this thing makes me very positive. Now, when do we get to a point where we can with confidence say our players are going to be healthy and play games with no fans? I don't know. You know, particularly with football and hockey, it's a little bit more difficult. I think baseball is the easiest because there's far less contact, but in basketball, it comes after that. But I think, you know, if I had to bet, and this is more a guess than a bet, I'd say early June is when you start to see teams start to take the field and maybe play games just for television.
That's Mark Cuban over the weekend. He's been bullish on the return of sports for a while. Been on the early side of his projections. But it's part of the conspiracy theory that, you know, Trump is sort of pushing these leagues back. And, you know, he's in cahoots with maybe certain governments, certain governors, and the leagues themselves. And the conspiracy theory is this. Last evening, Trump had this just bananas press conference. I mean, just even for him, like, reaches new levels, new lows, if you want, but I mean, just a complete, like, you know, like a world wrestling event. So it's a point where, like, CNN and MSNBC are cutting out, you know, which they've been doing anyway, but they cut out in the middle of it because it was like a campaign sort of thing, and it wasn't a real, the press conference was there to bring on Fauci and Bricks and all these other people to inform people about the status of the coronavirus. But Trump turned it into this thing. And then there was a screaming match with the reporters. It was just bananas.
Trump tremendously blahed the media.
So I've lost my train of thought now.
And you just said that.
Oh, CNN and MSNBC cut out of it. And Cuban apparently on Twitter says, why'd you guys go away? You cut away before the real info got out, because apparently at the end they did actually get to the experts and presenting the info that showed there's actually some good news out there as it related to the coronavirus. But the networks had already cut away because the front of the press conference was so nuts. But Cuban says, why? You guys should have stuck around for the real info. And all it, Cuban's had a hot and cold relationship with Trump over the years. And for Cuban to come to Trump's defense, basically, is what he was doing there. Long story short, sort of raises my eyebrows. Like, oh, Cuban's coming to his defense now on this? And Cuban's been telling us everything that he's been hearing and all the experts that he's spoken to. It's June. Again, I think Cuban's privy to what's going on there between Trump and the commissioners.
Yeah, Mike, I think there is a coordinated effort here. I don't think there's any question about that. And the question is, I mean, to me, the only question is whether or not it can work. But I think that in order for something like this to take place, there has to be a coordinated effort. There has to be cooperation between the government, between the leagues, you know, between the league and the union. I mean, you're talking about a million different things that have to line up in order for this to work. And I haven't even mentioned federal health officials, which is at the top of the list. And remember that report that Jeff Passan had about, the initial plan for MLB to play said that they had the blessing of federal health officials. So Trump has even gone so far as to make sure that Anthony Fauci or whoever it is that he's consulting is in agreement that they can at least attempt to pull this off.
Okay. And if not, that tacit threat to fire him is still hanging over, retweet the hashtag fire Fauci. So you got that. Well, again, it's coming from Trump, which I'm actually in favor of. I want these sports to come back if they can. So I don't mind him pushing this. I don't like him threatening to fire Anthony Fauci. I'm not in favor of that. But pushing to get the economy back is his job. And pushing to get the sports leagues back, I'm in favor of, actually. So there's that. We can take your calls on that. We do want to reset the real outrage of the day. And the real outrage of the day, according to Maz and Murray, is Bill Belichick's disrespect of Tom Brady yesterday. We'll get back to that story in a long commercial-free segment right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This being our first time talking to you since the end of the season, and in particular since Tom left, I know you wanted to leave it at the statement, but I'm just curious if you guys had a desire to bring Tom back the coming season.
Yeah, I think that's, a lot of water under the bridge, Mike. And like I said, we're really focused on this season and trying to look at our opportunities and make decisions and plan and prepare to be as competitive as we can be this year. So that's really what our focus is on.
It didn't surprise you at all, him leaving?
Again, I think we've covered all that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right. It's where he let off the day, but we'll reset it here. Some people were a little put off by Bill yesterday and talking about Tom Brady. Water under the bridge, and I've already addressed that. For the greatest player basically in the history of the sport. A couple emails here. Here's Kate in Andover. This was before we even came on the air today. So she was feeling it like I think some people here on the show were feeling it. Kate said, "The more I think about Bill's call yesterday, the more annoyed I am. Sure, I've been more irritated by Bill in recent years, and I was Tom over team. But really, Bill? You can hardly contain your praise of Jimmy Garoppolo after a few years of being the backup when you traded him. But 20 years and 6 Super Bowl wins with Brady is hardly worth acknowledgement? Petty," says Kate. "No one on planet Earth thinks Brady is just another player. Bill was disingenuous. Yes, Bill has played favorites, has made decisions based on ego and personal feelings. As you say, Felger, that's human. I agree. But Bill acts like he doesn't, like he's above it all, and that is fraudulent. New England fans deserved more. Brady deserved more." She says, "I haven't taken the last 20 years of success for granted, but I wonder if Bill has." Kate in Andover. Which was a nice little missive, but nothing compared to what we got from Jim and Melrose. Jim and Melrose writes in this morning.
It's a great email.
Water under the bridge? It's water under the bridge, he writes. That a-hole really said that? I had to hear it for myself like 3 straight times to get it through my head that overrated, never accomplished jack crap as a head coach until he lucked into the greatest quarterback of all time. That guy said that about the last 20 years working with said greatest quarterback. What an incredible D-head. Please, please, writes Jim and Melrose, please, football gods, I beg you, let him fail. Let this fake wannabe Navy admiral and his, oh, my rules or my way or the highway ass get exposed and go 5-11 every season that he's got left in the NFL. Do people realize how passive-aggressive and vaggy that is saying in this regard, water under the bridge? In other words, he's saying, what's done is done. It's too late and pointless to even consider the past. He was just another Patriot. D-head. All caps. What a D-head. Without him, you have no championships and you're floating around TV sets on terrible shows like Get Up and Nana Florio's show as a guest trying to remain relevant. Signed, Jim and Melrose, XOXO, can't call in. So, Jim and Melrose, you still feel that way after having a full day to calm down?
Yeah, no, and I didn't even have my caffeine yet when I wrote that email because it was early for me, Mike. It was, if you saw that email, I think it came in at 10:45 this morning. So,
that constitutes as early these days.
Oh yeah. But no, I mean, like, it's water under the bridge. Like we were on the air yesterday, so the sound had just kind of come in, so we hadn't really picked through it yet, but I saw, some of the beat writers write, like, I'm like, there's no way he said that. And then I heard it, late last night, and then I listened to it. I was like, oh my God, no, he really said that, because it's water under the bridge has never, ever been used in any other context than this isn't important to me anymore. That's when you say that. That's in the past. I've moved on. Tom Brady, he's yesterday's news. I'm moving on. It's just so disingenuous, because if anyone were to ask him on that call yesterday, and Mike, you know this because you've told these stories, if someone on that call just said, hey, Bill, what was it like working with Carl Banks? And what can you tell us about, like, the Big Blue Wrecking Crew and that defense of the 90s?
Okay, but hold on. It's not disingenuous because he likes Carl Banks and the Giants defense. He doesn't like Tom Brady. So he's being genuine. That's the wrong word.
Does he like Lawrence Taylor?
Yes.
Like, he liked him as a player, but does he like him as... Oh, I don't... There had to be someone on that defense, Mike, he hated, because he's Bill. He's petty like that. And he still would have talked until he was blue in the face, New York Giant blue in the face, because that's what he loves. He's a football historian. And what I find disingenuous is, because he did this on that NFL 100 show that he ended up winning an Emmy for. Like, he can do it there because the cameras are on, and he's on a TV show, and he wants to present himself as, you know, Bill Belichick, NFL historian. I really think... And that's not a knock. Like, the guy took the paint off the walls about any of the greats of the game. You had one of the greats of the game at the most important position that helped you win those Super Bowl titles in the last 20 years, and you say it's water under the bridge? It's just so petty and cheap.
So petty, yes. Cheap, perhaps. Disingenuous, I just disagree with the adjective, Murray, because I actually think he's being genuine. I think it was all those things. I think it was disrespectful of Brady, and I do think it was petty. But I think it's true to his feelings. He's not a big Tom Brady fan right now, and at least he reflects that. And last week, I spent a lot of time bashing Tom Brady for whitewashing the problems with Bill in his interview with Howard Stern and feeding me a load of crap about why he didn't go to OTAs and a load of crap about it just being time. And so I thought Brady was disingenuous last week. Belichick yesterday was petty and cheap and those sort of things, but he was more genuine to his feelings. He's not a big Tom Brady fan right now, and so at least that reflected that. That's my point.
Yeah, but at least Brady's a closer to being a grown-up. Like, I sort of look at it and say, Mike, you know, Brady also said some positive things about Belichick. He said, I never would have been able to accomplish the things that we accomplished, or I accomplished without him. So there's a lot of praise there and acknowledgement that Belichick played a huge part in it. This thing to me is the perfect example, exemplary, of Bill being his own worst enemy. It really wouldn't take that much for him to just say, hey, look, I know I issued a statement on this, but you don't get Tom Brady's every day. There will never be another Tom Brady. I just want to make it clear how much we valued what he gave to the franchise, independent of talking about the disputes or the rift or the wedge, whatever you want to call it is that came between them over the years. There is a way to do both, especially, and here's the key point, when he all but gushed and wrote a love song for Jimmy Garoppolo when he traded him to Tampa Bay a couple of years ago.
He liked Jimmy. He doesn't like Tom. And so again, if you want to tell me, Maz, that Brady has more class than Bill, yep. Is more of a grown-up than Bill, yep, for sure. Is able to take the high road and do the right thing in those settings more than Bill, you bet. I will agree with you. I'll also tell you Brady's more full of crap. And, you know, sort of like you'd like to strike the perfect balance in everything, but who does? And if you're asking me, I would prefer the guy who may be an a-hole and may be petty and maybe, but at least he's honest and is a little closer to his true feelings. And I think Brady last week put on a show and wasn't genuine. I think Bill yesterday was his genuine D-head self, Murray, to use your language.
Well, they both haven't really served themselves all that well in the last couple of weeks. I mean, for a while, I've thought Brady is kind of a disingenuous, you know, robot off of the field. But I look at it as, who do I look at as the most important piece here, especially of the last decade? I think it's Tom. I'm Tom over team. So now I'm with Rex Ryan and others that are waiting to see what Belichick can do with someone that's not Tom Brady at quarterback.
Well, no, yeah, hold on.
Go ahead.
Murray, you're not waiting to see. You're praying to the football gods. You're praying to the take lord.
Yeah.
Because you wrote, please, please, football gods, I beg you, let him fail. Let this fake wannabe Navy admiral and his my way or the highway ass get exposed and go 5-11 every season that he's got left in the NFL. So you're not just wait and see. You are fully on the camp of fail. Go down and go down hard. Let's be honest now.
Oh, yeah. No, I wrote it. Yeah. But you know, that's what those other guys are feeling, too. They just, you know, they're not as petty as I am, I guess, with what I wrote there today.
And Murray, the good news is your take God will listen because you don't facilitate. You have takes.
As you were saying.
Well, so look, I just think that when it comes to this sort of stuff, Bill can't, you know, he can't have it both ways. He can't sit here and say you're doing things for the good of the team and then, you know, be petty over something that is an emotional issue. And so now look, I recognize there's a difference between what you say and what you feel in decision making. But I just think this is one of the great Belichick myths ever, that Bill always does what's best for the team. Bill does what Bill thinks is best for the team. That's really what the issue is. And I just think that to treat Tom Brady like just another guy who passed through here, like you would have treated Richard Seymour, Logan Mankins, and Lawyer Malloy, and even they weren't just guys who passed through here. Those guys were all good players. But to treat it that way, I just think is, oh, it's so unbecoming. It's really petty. It makes them look bad. And at the end of the day, fans don't care, especially the Belichick Bobos who will line up behind him and tell him that everything he does is right. And I still would never, I would not rather have anyone else as the coach of my football team than Bill Belichick. But don't tell me he handled himself with any sort of dignity or tact in this thing, because he hasn't.
No, he didn't. It was just a little bit more honest than Brady. It's water under the bridge, writes Murray. Water under the bridge? That a-hole really said that? He said, I had to hear it three times to get it through my head that overrated, never accomplished jack crap as a head coach until he lucked into the greatest quarterback of all time actually said that about the last 20 years of working with said greatest quarterback. You really believe that about Bill Belichick? Never accomplished jack crap as a head coach until he lucked into the greatest quarterback of all time?
Yeah, what did he do as a head coach?
No,
he failed in Cleveland. 2008 is overrated and fake, so don't try to give me that. And that's it. Like, what did he do?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's actually kind of true. He didn't accomplish much until he got Brady. But anyway, folks out there, do you feel Belichick disrespected Brady yesterday to the point where you want Bill to fail like Jim and Melrose? That's the question for the day. First, an update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.